Good evening. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I think this will be the last in the Living with Hashem series. Hopefully, we'll take lessons from what we've learned and help in our daily lives, where we always have to live with Hashem. And in our previous shiurim, we've discussed things like emuna, bitachon, trust in Hashem, how that plays out during challenging times, how that plays out as far as how optimistic we should be and hope, you know, believing and being confident in a positive outcome, and, you know, different things that we think about in different situations that come up in our lives. And, you know, in this final segment, I'd like to explore the mitzvah, which is actually stated 8 times in the Torah, of halachta bidracha, of going in the ways of Hashem. And in Latin, it's referred to as imitatio Dei. Hope I'm pronouncing it okay, but it literally means imitating God. And it's such, obviously, a very central idea. If it's mentioned in different contexts, in eight different times in the Torah, but it's really a puzzling concept. What does it mean to imitate God? Meaning both from the perspective of, well, we already know we have to observe the Torah and keep the mitzvahs. So what is, when we say halakhta bidrachav and go in his ways? Okay, well, aren't I already doing that? I'm already, you know, told to observe the Torah. What does it mean to go in his ways? And perhaps an even greater question is, how can we imitate God? If God is by definition, by nature, inimitable, nothing can compare to him. So how are we able to imitate God, and what does that do? Why is there that imperative? So just as before we start, and always curious of people's thoughts on this, and what's imitating God? What does it add? How are we able to do this? How have you thought of this? Halakhta bidracha.
Well, I've heard sometimes some individuals I spoke to, that they say, like, I'm talking about guys, you know, we think, you know, when someone who has a long beard, you would think that would be comparing that to Hashem, because why would Hashem have a shorter bit? You would think that just the look, you know. That's what I've heard.
Interesting. Yeah. So you have a longer beard, so you look like Hashem. I don't know. It seems a little bit heretical, yeah, if you want me to be frank. You know, Usher and I have been learning more in the book, and he goes, you know, in every single way, you know, time and time again, for every single word, to show that that we shouldn't conceive God as physical. Now, I'm sure they don't mean that God is physically has a beard, but I guess they present themselves in a way that's godly.
Right.
Acting in a way that, you know, like a role model and things like that, I think.
Right. But what does that do beyond just, if I have to follow the Torah, then what does that add? Like, what's that, like, you know, an icing on the cake? Let's find out. Yeah. But all good ideas, especially like the beard one.
But, yeah, I just heard that from people, you know.
No, but I'm sure there's more to that concept. I'm just giving you a hard time. So we're told 8 times in the Torah, different formulations of halachta bidracha, to go in his ways. One example is in the midst of the tochacha, of the rebuke in Parshas Kisavo. It says, Yikim chayel Hashem lo la'am kadosh, Hashem will establish you as a holy people, Hashem law, because he swore to you, kishmor es mitzvos Hashem elokecha, to, if you observe the commandments of Hashem your God, v'halachta bidrachav, and walk in his ways. So again, this just seems like an additional layer above just keeping the commandments. Keep his commandments and walk in his ways. Imitate him. So, you know, first question is, you know, how can we imitate?
What does that mean?
Right. What does it mean? Observe, because it says observe his mitzvahs, observe tishmar etz mitzvos Hashem elokecha, observe his mitzvahs and halachta bidracha, walk in his ways, or imitatio Dei, as they say in Latin, imitate God. But already the Gemara asks, you know, how is this possible? You know, how is it possible even considering what the Torah tells us about the nature of God? The Gemara says in Sota, his Achare Hashem Elokechem Teilechu, after Hashem your God shall you walk. It says, V'chiyev shalola adam l'halik achar shchina, is it possible for a person to walk after the shchina, the divine presence? Because doesn't it say, Ki Hashem Elokecha eishoch lahu, for Hashem is a devouring fire. Hashem is something that no human being can approach or really grasp. Even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't given full view or full understanding of Hashem. So what does it mean to walk after Hashem? So you either say to imitate him or to walk in his ways. You know, Hashem's there, I'm going to, follow you. So the Gemara says, Ela lahalik achar midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, you should walk after the attributes of Hashem. What attribute, and what does Hashem do? This first Gemara speaks about different ways that Hashem relates to people. It says, Mahu malbi sharumim, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu clothes the naked, as it says that he provided clothes for Adam and Chava, avata halbei sharumim, so too, you shall clothe the naked, just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mevakir cholim, he visits the sick, as it says he visits Abraham after the circumcision, avata bakar cholim, so too, you shall visit the sick. Just as Hashem comforts the mourners, so too you should comfort mourners. He gives different examples. With the Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick, that's with Avraham Avinu. Comforting mourners, that's with Yitzchak. And just as a Kaddish Baruch Hu buries the dead, and it brings a pasuk that Hashem buried Moshe, so too you shall bury the dead. So these are all really in the realm of chesed. Just as Hashem cares for his creations, so too you should do the same. It needs to be that you should act in ways that Hashem acts. And that seems to be in the realm of action. But the Gemara in Shabbos, number three, commenting on the pasuk, Zekei Levi Anvehu, this is my God and I shall... Different interpretations, what Anvehu is, that build him a sanctuary, glorify him. But the Gemara in Shabbos breaks the words apart. As Vanvehu understands it as Anivahu, I and him, that there's some sort of, in some ways, comparison between people and God. What does that mean? Ve'anvehu, Anivahu, Havedomalo, you should be similar to him. Mahu chanun v'rachum, just as Hashem is compassionate and merciful, avata eya chanun v'rachum, so too, you should be compassionate and merciful. So I think this goes beyond, if we're asking the question of what does this add to just the other, mitzvahs of the Torah, everything we're supposed to do, I think we see here that it adds certain qualities and character traits that people should have, that it's not enough to just do the right thing or do the right thing begrudgingly, but you should develop traits of compassion, mercy, concern for others to make it something that's more internal. And in that way, we have this comparison of Anivahu, that I and Hashem, that there's some, then the Gemara is saying this, it says, very powerful statement. There's some comparison between us and Hashem. If we emulate his midos, his qualities, then we are acting in a godly way. We're imitating God. And another question is, well, what if we're imitating something, there has to be some... usually some similarity or some goal, meaning when you're a child, you imitate a role model. Maybe you don't have a full understanding, but you see parent goes to shul or your parent does chesed. So you imitate them. Maybe you're not even really, you know, doing the action in the full way, but you're imitating them. What's the value in that? Because, you know, one day you're going to be grown up and one day you're going to have that responsibility. So there's a value in imitating. You're imitating something or someone that you have that in some way you're similar to. Otherwise, you know, would be kind of ridiculous if there's no goal to be more than just, you know, one who imitates, but actually absorb and internalize that type of behavior, so that then it's kind of ridiculous. So or must be that there's in some way similarity between us and God, some kind of connection. And, you know, that similarity is spelled out in the Torah from the very beginning, that we're created, B'Tselem Elokim, we're created in the image of God. Now just open up another can of worms. What does it mean to be created in the image of God? Shalom says, I'm not going to let you off the hook. You said have a long beard. But other than that, and I'm sure it doesn't mean literally, but other than that, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? We like to throw out the term Tselem Elokim, but what does that mean? In what way are we like the image of God? See, deep in thought.
Are we talking physical now? Is the question?
I would think, I'm going to say not physical, but what? I'm going to say not physical. You know, what's similar to us, or what, you know, we say the image, it has a similarity, it has the same qualities, but what does that mean? In what way are we similar to God?
Our ability to think, our ability to use.
So you have there's an aspect, there's definitely an aspect of intellect, and in they're different, and different commentaries point out different specifics about what exactly the intellectual advantages of people over all other things. One, it could be just the ability to speak in a coherent, more complex way. If you look at the Malbim, he says really it's what separates a person from all other life forms is Bechira Chafshis, so they have free choice, that they can actually make decisions based on factors other than just, you know, their environment or, you know, pursuing their own sustenance, but they can make choices. They can choose to act based on principles. And that's something that no other living being was granted. And you know, that's in the same way that Hashem acts, as Rabbi Arya Kaplan points out, that God, just as God acts as a free being, so does man. You know, that God has the ability, the ultimate ability, to choose to make decisions is not beholden to environment or any other stimuli that really give it no choice, but a person has just like God in the ultimate level, but God, when it says that God created us in his image, it means similar to that, obviously not in the same way, but similar to how Hashem can make choice out of principle without being beholden to other things. So too, human beings have the ability to make choices. And in that way, they're considered to be in the image of Hashem. Because that's something that no other living thing has. Another aspect of Tselem Elokim, which Desler in number 6 points out, is the ability to give. The ability to give also out of principle, and to give in a way that's selfless and without expecting anything in return. You know, and that's something that other living beings you don't have. you know, we see other animals, they care for their offspring, and there is a certain protectiveness, but really not in the same way, and not out of an intellectual conviction or out of principle that they can give. Because even as far as a basic caring for one's offspring, so there's a certain natural inclination there. But here, people have the ability to give without expecting or needing to accept or receiving anything in return. And that's what it says, B'tzelem Elokim ases Adam, that Hashem made man in his image, kiyocho l'rachaim v'liyitein, that man has the ability to have mercy and to give. So if we think of the whole idea of Selim of Halakhta B'drach, of imitating God in light of this, so there is actually an aspect of imitation, because there's some similarity. And I keep on saying it, I think this should be taken for granted, that it's not saying that we are God, but there's a godliness, the godliness in us, chelak elokami mamamish, right, for the Chabadniks. The soul has an aspect of godliness, of elokus, and because we have that godliness, so we're required to actualize that and to imitate God. And by acting in ways that God conducts himself and relates to the world, that is an expression, an actualization of a certain level of godliness within us. And now just practically, so how do we do it? Now we know that we're supposed to emulate God's or imitate God's qualities, that there's a reason for it, because there is a certain level of godliness in human beings. But how do we do it? If I want to say, halakta b'drachah, I'm told, go in his ways. Okay, walk in his ways. Okay, how do I do that? Which direction do I walk? Put one foot in front of the other. How am I supposed to actualize this? So I have to put into practice the traits of Hashem. And the prophet Micha discusses some of those traits. He says that similar to what we find in Sefer Shmos with the 13 attributes of mercy, that Hashem pardons iniquity, overlooks transgression, doesn't maintain his anger forever, desires kindness, is compassionate, and overlooks transgressions towards him. So how can we do this? So in this journey to virtue, Rabbi Avram Ehrman goes through these different parts of Micha's statement. There is description of God. He says, so Mikel Kamocha, so God who has infinite patience and tolerates those who insult him, those Avon over El Pesha. So how does God do this? God does this by maintaining the existence of the entirety of creation at all times. So that even at the very moment a person sins, he doesn't cut off the relationship. He doesn't cease bestowing goodness upon one who sins and one who, quote unquote, offends. So what can we gain from that? So we should tolerate people who offend and annoy us. And even though it's not so easy, but even if a person offends and annoys us and doesn't treat us in ways that at least we feel we're deserving of, especially in light of maybe things that we've done for that person. But if we want to be God, if we want to be godly, if we want to fulfill halakta b'drachah, to imitate God, so what do we have to do? We have to keep on doing kindnesses for people, even if they continue to upset us. It's not easy. Who said being, like God is easy, but that's what God does. And any way that the person is deficient in relating to in behaving towards God in appropriately in light of what God has given him. So, that's is certainly more outrageous than anything even a person could do that would show a lack of gratitude, because Hashem has given everything. So if we want to be like God, if we want to go in his ways, imitate him. So that means that someone who offends us, annoys us, doesn't show us proper gratitude, but we have the ability to do a kindness to them. So we have to continue to do that. I'm reminded, I think I mentioned this after Shacharis, shortly after his passing, but one of my rebbeim, Rav Moshe David Tendler, so he, one of his nephews at the Shloshim told a story that he had some positions that were unpopular, and there was a fellow in Muncie who I think was where he lived, who is, you know, outspoken in a disrespectful way about some position that Rabbi Tendler had taken. And his nephew said that he was in touch with Rabbi Tendler because this person was homeless. He became, how he became homeless. And you're talking, you know, this person, whatever this person may have done or said, he's homeless. He wanted to help us. They were talking, you know, what could they do to help him? So Rabbi Tendler told his nephew, I want you to open up a bank account in your name. And every month I'll give you a certain sum of money, presumably a sum that's large enough to give this person his shelter and food. And I want you to give it to him every month. But the one thing you have to promise, you can never let him know that it's from me. Because if he knows it's from me, then he's not going to take it. I mean, that's halakha v'drachah. That's someone who, you know, had insulted and acted in a way that it was inappropriate, but he needed something, and keep on giving. So that's exactly how we can emulate what Micha says, no se avon v'over al pesha, overlook transgressions. We think someone dealt with us in a way that was inappropriate. Okay, we want to be like God. We have to continue to act kindly towards them. Another aspect of being like God, it says that he Oral Pesha, the Shiris Nachlaso, who is the remnant of his inheritance. So it means that God considers Israel and Jewish people to be his children. So if someone has a child, you know, children don't always do exactly what we would expect is appropriate, you know, towards us. Maybe don't always show us the appreciation that, you know, we probably deserve, but there are children. So we're not going to say, oh, you didn't show me respect, so, you know, I'm not going to keep on giving to you. So too, if Hashem views humanity on a whole, but specifically the Jewish people, as his, you know, as his relatives, his remnant, then we have to view humanity in general and Jews specifically in the same way. We should act as if all Jews were close relatives, wishing them only good, right? Would we ever wish our children ill, even if they did something that was really egregious towards us? We would still want the best for them. So in the same way, we should always not only keep on giving to other people, but want the best for them. And if they don't act exactly as they should, but there are children, there are family, and that's our obligation if we want to be like God, because that's what God does. All these things, it's powerful to just think about how this is what God does. No one is, you know, acts nearly if we realized how much God gives us. So, you know, we would certainly, I think our behavior, we really, really appreciated it. I think certainly our behavior would change and would be improved. And the fact that it's not. So, you know, our service of Hashem is certainly deficient, even more so than people act towards us, you know, people who we think should act towards us in a more appreciative way. So, but if Hashem's too continues to give and continues to want the best for us, so we need to do that too, even to people who haven't acted towards us in a way that we consider appropriate. And another one of these attributes is that he will again be compassionate, and that's human nature, that if someone, you know, slights someone else or even injures them or harms them, you know, physically or financially or in other ways, that even when, you know, you officially make amends, there's still that lingering tension and the lingering feeling that, you know, oh, they were still wrong. It was still a rotten thing. You know, they're lucky that I, you know, was willing to forgive them. But Hashem is different. When he sees that a sinner genuinely wants to repent and reject his sin, so he draws the penitent even closer than before. And you know, we see this from the statement of Chazal that in the place where Bali Tshuva stand, even Tzadikim Gemurim don't stand. I mean, there's a certain closeness of someone who did sin but now repents. And so too, that's how, if we want to go in God's way, so we have to do the same. Someone sins against us or you know, even harms us. And they're different in different degrees. But you know, if someone does something that we were, you know, were offended by, or that was even objectively wrong, but if they sincerely want to make right, so not only should we view it as, oh, I'm so generous by being willing to forgive them, but we should view it as an opportunity to even strengthen the relationship further. And sometimes you see that it happens. Sometimes, you know, when people go through a rough patch and then they work things out, so the relationship is even closer than it was before. But being willing to do that and being willing to move past those, you know, those grudges, those lingering feelings, is an actualization of halacha b'dracha, of imitating God, because you see, that's what God does. And you know, these are just, you know, ways of, you know, relating to people in ways that, you know, similar to ways that God relates to us. You know, and how do we work on that? You know, we know what we're supposed to do. Okay, how do we do that? What's the next step? So, in one aspect, as the Sifsei Chaim in number 9 points out, is just appreciating and paying attention to small acts of kindness that we do, and we maybe do on a frequent basis, but maybe don't always appreciate that when we do these actions, we're actually, you know, imitating God. Because what's the way that we're supposed to imitate God? So we saw earlier, the Gemara says, just as Hashem, you know, clothes the naked, visits the sick, comforts mourners, so too we should do that. Just as Hashem is compassionate and merciful, so too we should be compassionate and merciful. So a way that a person can really, you know, actualize and fulfill the mitzvah of halacha b'dracha is, you know, doing all of these things intentionally. And, you know, for example, so every time one supports another emotionally, or considers the other's needs, or greets people with a sefer panim yafos, greets people with a pleasant expression, which he says here is a very zehu davar gadol. It's a very significant thing, you know, to greet people nicely. And Scranton people do this, and New York people don't really do this, you know. But it's granted, it's a big thing. It really changes the way people relate to others. And, you know, that's the way that Hashem acts kindly towards us. So when we greet people with a smile, with a pleasant demeanor, that's a way that we're imitating Hashem and giving thought how to benefit others. And all of these things are a fulfillment to walking in the ways of Hashem. And that results in not only, you know, benefiting others in ways that Hashem benefits them, but it develops a certain dveikus, a certain cling to Hashem. Because when we do these things with intention, that we're doing it because we want to fulfill the mandate of walking in Hashem's ways, that strengthens the bond between us and Hashem in a powerful way. And even though it seems, you know, rather, you know, easy when we just, you know, bullet pointed, what it is that we can do to fulfill the mandate of halakha b'drachav, it can also be overlooked, and we could easily squander that opportunity. How does one neglect to fulfill this opportunity, this mandate? So just like anything else, we have to work on it. And if we don't work on it, then we don't accomplish it. So he says in number 10, Misha Einu Bishtadel Gashra Drachav, someone who doesn't endeavor and exert himself to improve his general conduct, to overcome his negative and self-destructive inclinations, a person who doesn't improve his thoughts, attitudes, and actions to love God, and one who doesn't intend to fulfill the mitzvah. So in order to fulfill this mitzvah, we have to have intent. We have to be mindful about our goal, that we want to be like God or walk in the ways of God and exert ourselves to accomplish this. You know, these things don't come easy, especially the things that we were discussing about emulating Hashem's different attributes of mercy, that even if someone doesn't act in the way that we think is appropriate, we still nevertheless continue to bestow goodness upon them. We don't hold grudges. You know, these are things that really take work. But the intention to fulfill them is really the first step to then going on the path, to literally walking in the ways of Hashem. That has to be something that's intentional. And the Ramchal in Derech Hashem, in number 11, says that by trying to acquire this shlemus, this completeness, this perfection, a person becomes fit. Ru'uya lidavek yizbarach, that a person becomes fit to cling to him from the fact that a person has become in some way similar to Hashem. Therefore, he can become this partner, this close, have this close relationship, this dvekus with Hashem, through working and choosing to perfect oneself, and in doing so, through the acquiring of this perfection, then a person does in some way, quote unquote, resemble his creator. So this is both a state of mind, a mental focus, as well as just habituating oneself to act in certain ways. A person is not only just I do a bunch of nice things, but when I do it with this type of attention, I let out and I actualize my tzelem Elokim. And that's on a personal level, but I think just as important on a national level. We're meant to be Hashem's people. As we saw that Hashem in the first source in Devarim, when we're told in one of the places where the Torah tells us halakha b'drachav, yikim ka Hashem lo la'am kadosh, that Hashem will establish us as a holy nation. So how do we do this? We do it by fulfilling halakha b'drachav, by emulating God. And if we do this, we can make a tremendous impact on the world by being, you know, God's representatives in the world, representatives of the type of behavior that God expects from humankind. But if we don't, then it's even worse. You know, with power, it comes responsibility. And if we fail to do that, then it's even worse. Then it's even worse than the animals, who are not given the free choice, who are not given the ability to give, who are not designated to be Hashem's ambassadors or representatives to the world. And if we pervert that, then it's, you know, that it's even worse. So you see, on a personal level, you're commanded to copy Hashem, both in our actions and our general observance of mitzvos, but in conditioning ourselves through work and through focus to having the internal qualities of Hashem, to having the compassion, to having the mercy, to having the patience. And if we do that with the focus that our goal is to cling to Hashem and to be like Him, so I think it can positively impact in our lives, relationships with other people, and our conception of ourselves individually and as part of the Jewish people, as servants of Hashem and people who are here to make His will come into action in the world. So we should all, in a merit, to have the inspiration, the patience, and the siyata d'shmaya to not only observe the Torah, but to overall walk in Hashem's ways, assume His qualities, and maximize our potential.
Sure thought.